Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we're joined again today by Master Gardener Jan Peterzelka. Welcome back, Jan.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Well, in my texts this week, I got a lot of cool, funky-looking tree trouble pictures that we're going to be talking about. But before we talk about the tree troubles, there's actually a really interesting event happening later today. Or it's actually happening right now at Keystone Heritage Park. It's close to Sunland Park on Donovan. There will be nature walks, guided tours of the wetlands, botanical garden tours, kind of a nice way to see a really historic site here in El Paso, and also to maybe learn a little bit more about native landscaping as well.
Yeah, definitely. We have our new urban forester, Mickey Merritt, who's out there as we speak, and he's talking along with other members and our good friends of the West Texas Urban Forestry Council, talking about the importance of trees and how we need to go ahead and increase our canopy here in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And they have a really great poster that they recently got reprinted that showcases a lot of different trees that we certainly need in El Paso. So stop by, say hi, tell them that I sent you. We're really excited about that. And all that gears up as well as we're celebrating Texas Arbor Day come November the 4th already.
And I know Arbor Day nationwide is celebrated when in the spring, right?
It is around April between all of the Earth Day celebrations and when everyone's thinking about gardening. And that's certainly a crazy time of the year for folks like me. But definitely in Texas, we do promote the fact that fall is for planting, especially when it comes to trees.
And it's a great way to celebrate trees, which is what we'll be talking about today. And I guess, you know, we have going back to the urban forester that's going to be there at Keystone Heritage Park today, the question we get a lot is, what kind of tree can I plant? He's the perfect guy to approach with that question.
Yes, definitely. He'll know exactly which plants to plant. And there's a lot of online calculators and sites that you're able to see, like a Texas tree planting guide. And you can certainly enter your county, which is going to be El Paso. And then you kind of figure that in on what's the mature size of the tree. Are you looking at a small tree, medium or large? And then it's going to generate a whole bunch of results for you, give you a lot of feedback as far as the growth habit and, you know, any kind of interest year round and all those kind of details that are important to do homework before you go out and purchase and plant a tree.
And if I can interrupt here real quickly, as far as the mature size of a tree, from past experience, that is so important when you're selecting your planting site. I've done it wrong, and it's not as easy to transplant a tree as it is to transplant a petunia. So be very conscious of that when you plan your tree planting site. Very, very important.
Right, exactly. And that's a great point to be able to look out into the landscape to see what a mature sized tree looks like.
Absolutely.
A lot of times when you're talking about urban trees, street trees, areas that are in city areas and locations, those trees will never get up to their mature size because they're so constricted as far as their planting space. So don't take those trees as a guide that that's the biggest going
right.
to get. Go out and look at it in a park, in a mature landscape.
And be careful of your utility lines, too. That's really a huge safety issue. So, and all of those things are delineated in our information that we distribute through the association and Texas Master Gardener Association as well. Very important. If you have questions, that Urban Forestry Council, those people are just awesome. They provide so much good information. But you don't want an electrical wire running through your fig tree.
And you also, if you already have a large tree that's encroaching on a utility line, call El Paso Electric.
Absolutely.
Don't do it yourself. They will come out and take care. They might not leave it very pretty, but you probably shouldn't have planted that tree anyway underneath that utility line. So just for everybody's safety, go ahead and call the El Paso Electric and they'll be able to take
help
care of that problem safely.
Right.
Well, let's talk about some of these tree troubles.
Okay.
One of the pictures that was sent to you is of a really interesting looking caterpillar. It almost looks very woody and twiggy, and it's quite large. And from what I understand, it's on a citrus tree.
Right, exactly. So my phone has interesting photos. Most of them are plants that I either take pictures of or get pictures sent to. And this photo was what that insect was, and it really loved his citrus tree that was planted in the container. So we sent that off and we got that identified by our entomologist friends. And it's a swallowtail caterpillar that absolutely love citrus. So the point on that was that it's a beautiful butterfly in our area. Have you ever just Google swallowtail butterfly? And when it got back to the client, he says, oh, that's wonderful. I love those butterflies. I'm just going to leave it alone. But the point on that is that he was able to identify which caterpillars like which plants, and he'll know exactly which ones he wants to leave alone and not pluck off or spray off, if you will. So that's the underlying message, is you first got to identify what bug it is so that you can determine that course of action.
And of course, I think some of us who've had experience with caterpillars know that they can be quite destructive. And this particular caterpillar was not going to cause any deathly harm to the tree.
No, it loves the citrus, so it's going to gnaw on that for a little bit. But for the client, the return of that butterfly was well worth having them nibble on some leaves or not. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't
It's not like a hornworm on a tomato plant.
It wasn't going to destroy his crop of citrus for the year. You know, it's an ornamental potted plant, has some chewed leaves on. It's okay. Let it go.
And again, it was great for that particular client to actually send you the picture of the problem, which is something that I think is so important now. And it's actually quite easy now with everybody connected pretty much online and with digital phones. You take a picture of the problem, shoop, send it out your way. And almost immediately, also through a digital platform, you'll, like your entomologist friends, I don't even know if they were even here in El Paso, but you know, you can send out information anywhere. What is this? And almost immediately, you're going to get a response.
Exactly. Clear, up close photographs do the best, as well as a description of exactly when you start seeing this insect and what kind of damage that it's doing. So yes, all of those tools are really handy for us. And we were just talking about the fact is that we're seeing such a decreased amount of paper or literature that we're distributing on a one-to-one basis, because we may be talking to somebody, but then all of a sudden we give them a website or a Facebook page or something where they're able to connect with us, and we're able to kind of close these loops a lot quicker, a lot more efficiently to be able to help you solve your problem.
And the homeowner, I think, has a really important role to play, instead of just saying, oh my gosh, what happened? My tree is dead. To be able to look at your landscape for any changes and to document that. And that's going to make your lives a lot easier when you get those calls. What's going on with my tree, shrub, et cetera?
In working the help desk, I can't impress the importance of this enough, because we're volunteers, we've learned a lot, but unless we can actually see things, and you're welcome to come by and drop things by the office. Mm-hmm. And also, I will take this opportunity to plug the website, txmg.org/El Paso. There is a portion there where you can do Ask Us, and you can upload a picture, and one of our master gardeners will respond. We're not always in the office. If we have an opportunity to see that, then we can much better diagnose, if you will, the issue and give you some good advice on how to fix it.
Well, let's talk about another one of the pictures that was sent to you. Yeah. And I guess upon first glance, looking at a tree with peeling bark might freak out a lot of people, especially if you're not used to seeing peeling bark. But there are a lot of other homeowners who know that sometimes peeling bark is actually a feature associated with the tree. There's nothing really wrong with the tree itself, which is why it's so important to know what tree you have and what the features are.
Exactly. Plant ID, plant ID, plant ID. Can't stress that enough on that. And this photograph that I got of just the tree trunk and other pictures on there, but the question on this was some administrators were concerned that this tree on this campus were dying or not looking too good. And the fact is that this tree itself is a lace bark elm. So lace bark.
Lacy.
And it's a great tree. It's a perfect tree. And it's one of our listed recommended trees for El Paso. And that's one of the features. It has that peeling bark on there, almost like the Texas Madrone, that has that really nice peeling bark. That's wonderful, small tree and shrub. But that was the issue going on here. So the tree itself was fine. And then I looked further into the canopy itself. And the tree, the only thing that it really needed was more water, because there was a little stunted growth and, you know, kind of like gnarly, kind of dry twigs on the top. So that was the biggest issue on there, which is putting more water on that. But the tree itself was fine. And if it, anything, if it had additional peeling bark on there, it could have been partly caused by the school children that were in that campus on there too. So, I mean, and that's the major thing is knowing exactly what you have, what that those characteristics are, and how to keep that tree, you know, nice and healthy, and how we have that spin of educational piece on there. So don't confuse the lacebark elm with the Siberian elm.
Is that another recommended tree?
No, it's not. Okay. The Siberian elm is not. It's a really trashy kind of tree. It's really hard to get rid of. And then it has these terrible seed pods that will kind of bloom and they'll kind of fill up your entire yard with them and they'll sprout. And oh, goodness, don't plant Siberian elms. And if you have a Siberian elm, I'm sorry. Just keep on at it. You know, just keep on cutting that down. But if you want an elm, lacebark is the one to go with.
Okay, well, let's look at another picture that was sent to you, and it's sort of a weird orange. It looks like a tumor growing at the bottom of a mulberry tree. It just looks like this big, giant. Yeah, it looks like a big, giant orange tumor that looks like it's just like a heart or something out of a horror movie.
Right, exactly. So there's some decay going on there with this gall that's coming out at the mulberry tree. And seeing that mulberries are one of the most popular trees in El Paso, that, you know, that's just part of it. This tree looks like there's something else going on, like there's some kind of other trauma. It's a very large tree. As a matter of fact, the photo itself didn't take the entire photo of the trunk, but I did ask the homeowner on that, and he was thinking either about 30 years plus on that tree. So be a couple of things on there, whether there's some kind of internal decay going on from some bad pruning cuts in the past, or overall the tree could also be just maturing and just ending its life cycle. Whenever you have these kind of decay or this gall on there, the older the trees are able to withstand that much better than the younger trees. Mm-hmm. But this is one important thing on the mulberry and as far as decay and bacterial issues on there is a fact is that when you make these pruning cuts, don't wait till your tree is too big to start pruning it back. You have to realize that when you make a cut on a tree itself, it's going to take a while for that wound to heal and to callus over. The bigger that cut, the longer it's going to take to seal over. So it's always best to trim those limbs off when they're smaller. Much easier for them to close and heal, because the one thing that we don't recommend is any kind of paint or seal on your cut. You just got to have really dry air here, which is really good. Just let it dry out. But, you know, time's going to be... You have to be patient with that and take its time to be able to heal over. So the best thing to do is be preventive and not wait till the tree is too big.
And when you do your pruning, make sure you do it properly. Don't be topping your trees. We don't want that, and that's not good for the health of the tree.
So I guess the underlying point is here, document everything that you can possibly document with your landscape before calling the master gardeners, because that gives you a really great head start on trying to find the root of the problem, so to speak, in a much quicker and more efficient way. And if you want to get a hold of the Master Gardeners, you can reach them at 771-2354, 771-2354. We also have a link to them on our website, the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, where I will try to see if I could post a little slideshow of all the problems we've been talking about today. Well, we want to thank you so much for listening today. We want to thank you, Master Gardener Jan Peterzilka, for coming in.
You're very welcome. Always a pleasure.
And I want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.